Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change?
Everyone, I am Dr. Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to want to live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by $1 Million Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell your story, go to $1 Million Business Pathway under, go to T.A. Watson under $1 Million Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing episode today? For me, it is a true honor to have a guy who's been my coach. He's been in my life for 30 years now. I consider a friend, my coach, longtime coach, Joe Panunzio of the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach, what's going on?
Yeah, it's good to see you. It's good to, reconnect.
Show. 30, can you believe it's almost been 30 years?
Yeah, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of what you've become and what you're doing and trying to touch and change people's lives. That's what this is all about.
Man, I thank you. You've certainly touched and changed my life over the years. And for those of you who don't know, Coach Panunzio was one of my coaches at the University of Minnesota. He wasn't even my position coach at the University of Minnesota. Coach Panunzio was making sure that I was going to finish my time at the University of Minnesota no matter what happened football-wise. He was showing up to my classrooms, making sure I was there. My 8 a.m. math class that I was struggling to get to most days, he was there. He's just an amazing guy. And I consider, I just love him to death. So it's an honor to have him on. He's now currently with the Philadelphia Eagles as well. Coach, what are you doing with the Eagles right now? If you'd explain to the audience, please.
Yeah, I've been player development, but it's a twofold deal. Number one, I guess I'm a special team coach. There's three special team coaches. I'm the second one. Our head special team coach, Michael Clay, does a fabulous job, and I kind of help him. But coaches special teams in the National Football League really helps to get your hands on a lot of different kids, whether it's receivers, whether it's linemen blocking on field goals, and believe it or not, and the one thing for me, when I was coaching college for most of my career, I really thought I impacted and touched kids' lives and made a big difference. And the one thing that I was kind of worried about going to the NFL was that I still would not have that same impact. But when I got to the NFL, I was wrong, because the kids when they're in the NFL, the problems just become bigger, and everybody thinks because money solves problems, money creates bigger and bigger problems.
Yeah.
And so I would say like a big majority of our kids are looking for somebody to teach them how to be a father, how to be a husband, how to be a family member, and how to navigate the family dynamics and the money that goes with all that. And everybody thinks that you owe them this and you owe them that.
Right,
and
absolutely.
It's really hard. And it's different for every kid. But they just need somebody to be there and kind of have their undivided interest. And I want no money from it. So that kind of helps that relationship.
Right. And folks out there, Coach Panunzio, you can talk about one of the best guys you'll ever meet. And you also got a chance to, how many national championships did you win down in Alabama as well?
Yeah, we won three. I was part of three national championships with Coach Saban. And I would say this, working for him, he's obviously the best college football coach of my lifetime. You know, there's some others that will argue about other people, and I don't want to get into that, but he don't win by accident. He has a process, and he has a way of, he goes about things, and he's very, very successful at what he does, but it doesn't happen by accident. And he's touched my life and made me a better person and a better coach. And wow. I'm grateful for him too.
Wow. That's awesome. Coach, I appreciate you sharing that. You know, Coach, so a lot of folks get a chance to see these college coaches and professional coaches from a distance. What would you say is probably the most difficult part of your job, or has been the most difficult part of your job so far?
I mean, the hardest part is kids have kind of changed a little bit through the years, and I think that I think they're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, and I also think they're smarter. But the problem for me in dealing with kids now is they're just a little bit different because they're on the iPads more, they're on the social media. And so what they've kind of lost is the human touch and the way to communicate and how to really work with each other. Yeah. And so that part of it, we kind of have to go back and let them feel the human touch. No matter what happens for the rest of our lives or in the growth of human beings,
right,
we're built to react and have relationships with each other. And so, you know, it's all right to have a difference of opinion. It's all right to be a little bit different.
Sure.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it has to coexist with everybody else. And together we could really go where we need to go. And I think that's the greatest thing about sports. I mean, I think that's a problem in America right now. You know, we all have our own agendas.
Absolutely.
And we all come from different backgrounds and we all see ours. But really, for us to be successful and be exactly what we want to be, it takes a give and take from everybody. And we all need to understand that and work with each other.
Absolutely, Coach. That give and take is critical, you know, for helping these young men out. But, you know, as a coach, you're doing a lot of give and take when it comes to professionally and personally as well. You have a family. You've been married how many years now, Coach?
I think it's over 40, but my wife put up with me since high school. So she's
and all that being said,
wow. You know, your partner, you have to first off, you have to choose the right one.
Yeah.
And they have to be unselfish, especially to be married to a football coach or somebody that does what we do. And I would say the other part of it is my kids. It probably took a little while for them. Sometimes they thought I loved you more than I loved them.
Yeah, sure.
You know, because you put so much time into the players and they see the growth that they have and the success that they have. And sometimes they feel slighted by it.
Yeah.
And I think that probably was a harder thing for me to stay after and make sure my kids knew that the very most important thing in my life, number one was my wife. And then number two was the kids. So,
Absolutely. How have you been able to articulate and show them that over the years? Cause you've been coaching we've been together for almost 30 years. So well over 30 years at the collegiate and NFL level. So what have you done to make sure that they know that, you know, that balance is there?
Well, first off, I probably made a lot of mistakes starting with you. We were at the University of Minnesota and we had a picture day and my son was born in Minnesota and I was supposed to pick up my wife from the airport and this newborn son was, I had two girls and then I finally had a son and I was late getting there because we were taking team pictures. And so, you know, you learn how to kind of navigate your way through all of that. But I would say this, I think with kids nowadays and probably people in general, talking doesn't get it done. Like, you could say what you want to say, but actions speak so loud. I can't hear the words you say. And I think the actions to actually take time and actually think about and make sure that everything I do for the most part, you can't be right all the time, but that your actions reflect really how important they are and what they mean to you. And I'm not saying the money part of it. I'm saying one of the things like that I got to improve on and I have improved on is when I get on the phone with my kids every day, I have 38,000 different jobs I'm trying to do. Put my pencil down, put my phone, shut the TV off and for 3 minutes, talk to them and do that. Like, give them your time. The time is the very most important thing you could give them.
Yeah.
And pay attention and listen. I mean, it's not, you know, what did God say? He gave you two ears and one mouth. So,
right.
So, you know, listen and don't talk. And then you could kind of get what they're trying to say and help them and be there for them and be there for them unconditionally. Yeah. I would say that's the other part. I think kids nowadays for sure. And you went through it in your own life growing up, you love your mother, your father, or everybody. But then when things go bad, all of a sudden they're not there for you. And like, now you lose any relationship you could ever have.
Yeah.
So when things are going bad for your kids, make sure you're there.
Absolutely.
Make sure, and make sure, even though they mess up and you got to correct them or whatever needs to be done, but let it be known to them, you still love them. You still care about them. And we're going to get through this, but there's a lesson to be learned. And I think that's a hard thing to do, but I think that makes the relationship grow. And eventually they get it. And the other thing I think my wife and I did a good job of, whenever we hit tough times, and most of that was professionally, when your team didn't do good and you had to move. I mean, this is our 28th house we've lived in through all the years we've been married. We always let our kids know before it hit the paper, before it hit the ESPN. And with social media, that's so hard anymore because it gets blasted out. And that being said, the last couple firings I've been a part of, they got it before me because they're better on social media. And, you know, you just got to let go. Like, hey, well, but now they're old enough to figure that out.
So. Yeah, the kids are sharp, though.
So Coach, be transparent with them. Be, I mean, even, no matter where they're at, just be honest with them and tell them what's going on.
Absolutely. And I appreciate your transparency around that as well. You know, Coach, over the years, who have been some of your greatest mentors and what have you learned? What's been the greatest lessons you learned from those mentors?
Well, probably the first would probably be my wife, I guess, after 40 years, because
absolutely
she's been through everything and she would be the one, hey, your middle daughter needs, Nico needs this, or hey, you're not spending enough time with Angela. You know, I mean, that part of it. And then I was very lucky. I had two wonderful parents. And so they gave me a kind of a footprint of what that was. And then I was lucky coming up. I would say most of the coaches that I worked for and worked around really, really touched my life. It started with my high school coach was instrumental in my life. My college coach was. And then Bob Cortese was the first coach I had at Mesa College in Colorado and taught me kind of the basics. And then I would say everybody, Coach Wacker was a wonderful, wonderful man and cared about kids. And then the people that I worked with along the way have had a huge impact for me. And of course, Coach Saban, I would say nothing was comfortable working for him, but it was fair. And he held you to a standard and he forced you to live to a standard that you want to be in, whatever that standard is. Not only do it today, but and the standard wasn't hard to do one day. The standard wasn't hard to do 3 days,
sure.
But the standard to live to that standard for a month, for a half a year, for a year, that becomes hard and it really becomes a habit. And then once you're not living to that standard for a couple hours or a day, you're uncomfortable with yourself. And, sure. and then that sure. makes you, and we were lucky, I guess, at Alabama because we would have wonderful people that would come and speak to us and you'd kind of hear their messages along the way. Kobe Bryant to me he came a couple times there. And to listen to him and see the drive that he had and how passionate he was about his life. And then at the end, how passionate he was about being a father. It was what those people could do that. Why can't I do that? Why can't I be that?
So absolutely.
I think all of that became part of what we do.
Yeah, Kobe Bryant definitely being one of my favorite people as well. You know, so you got a chance to experience 3 national championships. Tell us what it's like to be a college national champion. What does it feel like? What does it do to the program? How does it change the kids? What does it do for the coaches?
I guess the best story I got of that for me was we played LSU in the middle of the season for my first one. And we played them here. It was what was called the game of the century. Hmm. And we lost to them. And we lost like 9-6 in overtime. And it kind of goes into resiliency, I guess, what this whole thing's about. But had we not lost to him that day, I don't think we would have won the national championship, because what happened to us, we felt the pain. We weren't doing exactly the things right. And how it worked out, we were lucky enough to get back in it. It was back when there was only two teams in it. A couple teams lost at the end. And now we got to go play LSU for the national championship in New Orleans, in the Sugar Bowl. And we got to spend 7 days in New Orleans with all those Louisiana people and the craziness and get ourselves ready for it. And we went down there and, it was probably the most dominant game that I've been a part of, although the score didn't do that. They never crossed the 50-yard line until like the middle of the fourth quarter. And when they did, on one play, we knocked him back and made him fumble and got the ball and won the national championship. But here's the story is the next morning, we're in the hotel in New Orleans and we're getting ready to get on the plane to come back to Tuscaloosa. And it came on ESPN and there was confetti coming down. And I looked at my wife and I said, hey, I didn't see the confetti. She said, you didn't see the confetti. I mean, you work your whole life for a national championship. You're like, you kind of just go numb. And she showed me pictures of me and the kids and confetti. I didn't see the confetti.
Wow.
And then you speed dial it forward. For me, it was about 2 months later. When you win the national championship back then, you were allowed to go to the White House. And so we went to the White House. And it almost makes me cry now. You're overlooking Washington, D.C. And there's the President of the United States 15 feet in front of you, you're going to shake his hand. And here's somebody from Pueblo, Colorado, and I'm at the White House. You got to be kidding me. Man, anything could become possible. And I mean, I think that's when it all hit me, like, man, we've done something that is really extraordinary, and take a moment to take it in and then move on. And this ain't the end. This is hopefully the beginning of things to come that are better. And it was. But it takes you a while to kind of digest all that.
Absolutely. And that's so powerful, Coach. I appreciate you being honest about that as well. And kudos to you for having that opportunity now. And, you know, many of us, we were rooting for the Philadelphia Eagles this year. We wanted to see them do well. You were in that locker room here recently when things didn't turn out the way you guys hoped to as a team. So take us in the locker room and tell us what I mean, again, from the outsider, we just hear a loss. But for a lot of people in that locker room, that's their livelihood. It's bigger than a loss. It's more than a loss. You've worked so hard. You worked all season long to get there. And you're one of the best athletes in the entire world. You're one of the best coaches in the entire world. And things don't work out for you. What is that like to experience that in that moment?
I mean, the first thing, as you know, because you're an athlete, it takes everybody to be successful. And everybody has to give up themselves. And so, and there's times when you go through it, you don't think you're going to get there. But you find a way to get to the playoffs. And so it's somewhat of a good year. But there's only one team that's going to have a great year, right? And on February 13th, they're going to be in Los Angeles and win the Super Bowl. And we did play good. And we played against a guy that Tom Brady, who's, you know, really, really good at it. And we didn't affect him and they beat us. So after the game, you come in the locker room and there is some, it's hard. It's, you feel like you're let down. You feel like you weren't successful. And the hardest thing of all of sports, they say the NFL, but college too. That's the last time we're all going to be together. And really it is like a family.
Yeah.
Like you're going to look around that room and in college guys are seniors and go on. And now the team it's going to be different. And in the NFL, they're going to show up the next day on Monday. And then they're going to do their final. And on Tuesday, they're gone. Yeah. And for some of these kids who I've been close to and been around, the truth is I'm probably not going to see them for the rest of my life. Some of them,
yeah.
And you know, some of them you'll still have some relationships with, and it's kind of like a finality a little bit to it. But the journey that we took together and the way we grew together, they all kind of have a history and a life of its own.
Yeah.
And you embrace that. The crazy thing about it, as you all know, I mean, you might not talk to them for 10 years and then all of a sudden you're walking down the street. Hey, are you, man, you go back to that. I mean, it's just so touching and it's so powerful. But the other thing to me is after all these years, you never really know how you touch people and how you make a difference in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was the head coach at Murray State in Kentucky and we won a national championship. And so they were having a reunion, a 15-year reunion. We beat Tony Romo. The only time Tony Romo had been beat. I don't know how we beat him, but we got lucky and beat him.
Uh-huh.
And so I go back. Well, they called and they said, look, we're having this reunion on homecoming for Murray State. Will you be there? And I'm like, man, I'm coaching at Alabama. Hey, this is during the season. We're playing. Well, then they called back a week later. They says, you know, that homecoming is on your bye week. And
oh,
I'm
really?
Like, all right. I says, you don't understand. When you work for Nick Saban, I go to work on July 28th. And I'm going to get one day off until probably February 10th. And that's going to be the Saturday of that bye week.
Wow.
I can't do that. I got to spend time with my family and my kids.
Uh-huh.
And so, of course, the kids start calling me. I came to Murray for you, da, 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 da. And now you're not going to show up. You're too big. You're too good. You're in Alabama. So long and short of it, I show up. And some great stories and some great things. And one of the kids came up to me and they all introduced their kids and their wives. And I mean, it was just so overpowering. But one of the kids, he comes up to me and he was a lineman. And I said, what are you doing? He said, I'm a preacher.
Wow.
And I said, man, come here. Let me hug you.
Yeah.
I said, how in the heck did you become a preacher? And he says, because of you.
Yeah.
I said, because of me. I said, look, man, I'm, there's a lot of things I've been accused of, but making somebody a preacher, that really don't fit me. Where did that come from? And he said, what, you remember what we did at the end of practice every day? I said, yeah, we would stop and we'd pray. And I would have each a different person pray. And he said, do you remember early in the year, they came to you and said, they're going to fire you if you continue to do that. And you said, you can fire me. You can do whatever. That's what we're going to do. And I didn't care what God you prayed to or whatever, but we're praying for us. He said, well, one day you let me pray and I did the prayer and it felt so good. I knew that's what I wanted to do the rest of my life.
Wow.
So I guess the point I'm trying to make is you never know how you're touching somebody or how you're doing it. And that's so powerful, I think. And we did that a lot of different ways. And it was just, took me by, took the breath out of me. And I'm proud of you. I'm glad. And you could only imagine how many lives he touches now for what he does.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've impacted, thousands of lives, hundreds of lives for sure, thousands over the years as well, Coach. You know, so as you look back on your journey, would you do anything differently?
Yeah, I would probably try to spend more time with my kids, maybe not take myself so seriously.
Yeah.
I think, sometimes you put so much pressure on yourself that, you know, and I think I would try to handle it a little bit different. But all that being said, I mean, if this all ended right now, I got way more out of life than, I mean, and it's been so, so great to me and so good to me. And now I got grandkids, and you're going to probably laugh at this, but when my kids were old enough to get married and stuff, I said, look, man, I didn't even like you when you were a baby. So I don't need no grandkids. I don't need you around. I'll get you a hotel and I don't need any of that. But I walked my oldest daughter down the aisle. I didn't cry. I walked my middle daughter down the aisle. I didn't cry. The oldest one had a baby named Michael Joe. You know, in the South, they got two names, right? So right. Michael Joe. And I held him and I looked and I cried like a baby. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't FaceTime him. And I mean, it kind of, I was so wrong. Grandkids are unbelievable, and it's the relationship I have there. As a matter of fact, my kids are like, well, I mean, man, if you'd have been that nice to me, this would have been better. I said, well, if you'd have been nice to me, it would have been better too. So.
That is awesome, man. The great granddad out there. And I know you're in Alabama now, spending time with the family, and I appreciate you giving me a little bit of time here. Now, Coach, we know we're coming off a tough year, man. People have lost finances, lost, you know, material possessions, lost loved ones. In some cases have even lost hope. What words of advice can you give the folks out to let them know that a brighter day is going to come?
Well, I mean, I think that's probably the greatest lesson that I've probably learned up to this point in time in my life. And it is kind of like what you talked about to start. Everybody sees the national championship, the White House, playing in the an NFL game or playing in the playoffs. But along the way, there were so many failures. There were so many things that went bad. Mm-hmm. But I would say this. The first thing was being religious and believing and having something, a power above me, that there were times I could stop and I could say, hey, man, I need your help. I don't understand this.
Yeah.
And the older you get and the more you do this, it's not only once a day, it becomes four or five times a day. Something will happen during the day and I just stop. I'm like, man, I was so stupid. How did you save me on that one? Like that part of it. But the other part that's even bigger than all that, that I really have learned, is when it fails and when it goes bad, it's really preparing you for something much, much bigger and something that's gonna, that you had to go through that you would have never, ever made it for us. I'll go back to the national championship. Had we not lost to LSU earlier in the season, we would have not beat LSU for the national championship. It made us get strong. It made us get better. It made us become more intense, more unified,
yes,
more into everything. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. For me, at one point in time, we got fired at Miami, and I came to Alabama, not in a coaching role, in a role that was like an operations role, but really kind of helped run the whole thing. I mean, I had my hand on coaches, players, recruiting, the whole, and it wasn't what I ever thought I would do. But at that same point in time, my middle daughter and I, we were always good, but our relationship wasn't like tight. I got three kids. And so she ended up working for us in the office at Alabama and for two or three years or whatever. And that relationship just grew. I mean, and so that, to this day, that bond,
wow.
I couldn't pay no money to get what I got out of that. But along with that, it lined me up to be more detailed, to be, I mean, I learned the program at Alabama inside out, not just as a coach, yeah, but everything that he was doing and how we touch kids' lives academically, how we touch kids' lives off the field, how we touch their lives getting jobs after they're done coaching, I mean, they're playing, and all of it. And so that's just one little thing. Like, so much so for me now, when it doesn't go the way that I like, and I'm not going to lie to you, when I was younger and just starting out, things wouldn't go, I would pout. I'm like, this is poor, poor, pitiful me. Now it's almost like, all right, God, I know, but Can you help me here? This is killing me. I know something better, but I don't see this.
Yeah.
So that has really become a part of everything that I do now. And I do believe this. I think for all of our kids and everybody that goes through that, they really can't grow unless you go through some tough times.
Yeah.
And I think as parents, when we help our kids and make it easy on them to go through those tough times, I don't think we're doing them a favor.
Absolutely.
I think we need to be there and catch them if they completely fall.
Sure.
But they need to grow, and they need, and it's all right to learn that.
Yeah.
And I like, even for me with my grandkids and watching my kids parent, like there's a word that parents are forgetting to teach their kids. No, like no's all right. you know, it's all right. No, when no means no, whatever that is. So, and it's even in our lives, even though I'm older now, no's all right. We got to learn to deal with it and become better at what we do, and it just sets us up for the next part of whatever we got.
Absolutely. Folks, I hope you guys are motivated and pumped up by my coach, my friend, Coach Joe Panunzio. Great words of advice. And I want to share this with you. You know, when I was 18 years old, leaving Denver, Colorado, my mother had just went back to prison for the, I think she went, well, she was arrested for the 44th time. My father was arrested for the 77th time. And I was literally homeless my senior year of high school. I actually had to leave Denver early because I had no place to stay in Denver and come to the University of Minnesota. And I remember Coach Panunzio coming to pick me up at the Greyhound Station. I don't remember if you remember that, Coach. Pick me up
at
DC's house. And connected me with some other players, man. You talk about a guy who's just been special in my life for so long. I love him dearly. Thank you for your journey. I thank you for the other lives. You're out there impacting as well, though. You know, so, you know, NFL coach, Coach Joe Panunzio is here with us today. And, Coach, you know, we talked a little about Tufts. So you ready to have a little fun?
I'm ready to have a little fun.
All right, so this portion of the show is called Rapid Fire Purpose Questions. I want you to I'm asking some questions about purpose. I want you to give me and the audience your most concise answer. You ready?
I hope I am.
All right, let's get it going. What gives your life meaning?
Seeing people be successful.
What one word best describes you?
Hopefully caring.
What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I'm going to bring us all together.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Play sports.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Or spend time with my wife and kids.
What did your 15-year-old self imagine you would be doing right now?
Believe it or not, probably just what I am doing. I was lucky. I had a dream, and I've been able to live it.
Man, that's awesome. I love it. Who inspires you the most?
Probably my wife.
Yeah. I mean, love it. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I like to cook.
You like to cook? Are you a pretty good cook?
No, only Italian food.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that when I come see you there, all right? Looking forward to that. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
My bucket list, my life would be absolutely complete. And I'd be able to walk out of, if I could ever play Augusta, play the Masters, not in the tournament, but play Augusta just one time, and I could shoot 200 and I'd be happy. That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
We're trying to improve myself.
Yeah.
I mean, in all facets, like I'm a little heavy. I got to get that. I got to work out a little bit better. I got to get a little bit smarter, try to read a little bit more, you know, all of that.
I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
That I cared, that I had them unconditionally.
Yeah. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
That I would give people the ability to work for whatever their dreams and desires are.
Love. What sparks your creativity?
I guess my heart, like God putting something in me to try to touch people, to try to, and not to do it in the way that people normally see it, but because I think you got to touch people in different ways. And I think he helped me with that. I think I was given that ability to take people for what they are, and they all have something good in them, and try to bring that out of them.
I love all of them. I love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Well, you kind of caught me off guard, and I don't like to get into politics, but the first thing I'd probably do is get rid of the Republican and the Democratic Party and create a party that's called American.
Yeah.
And that would do the best for all of us.
I love it. I'm sure you get a lot of votes on that one, Coach. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Boy, that's a hard one. Maybe Condoleezza Rice.
Okay.
Because I think that she kind of sees things a little bit different than me, but she's really, really smart. Mm-hmm. And I think she gets it.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. What do you love to do for others?
I love to touch their life and make their day a little bit better, and maybe give them something that don't just last today, but lasts through the tough times. And we're all going to have tough times.
Absolutely. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Their time.
Yeah.
There's a guy, Jim Caldwell, is a coach that he was at the University of Colorado when I first started coaching. Okay. And he gave me his time back then. And ever since then, he's the type of person, the type of father he is. The time that he gave me was invaluable and made a difference in my life.
And that's awesome. Love it. What's been the best compliment you've ever received?
When people that I touch come back and say I made a difference in their life, like you. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What's been the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
I guess I've never been afraid to fail.
Yeah.
And I think that's helped me, because sometimes you get caught up in this thing that when you get caught up where you're afraid to fail, you don't go forward.
Yeah.
You're just stuck in a circle.
Absolutely. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
I probably our family, the family I had, my mother, my father, and there's five kids in our family. Huh. My mother and father were school teachers, but my dad bought a farm, truck farm. And on that farm, we moved out there when I was in like the third grade, and we became one of the better farmers in all of the area because of the way we did. We weren't the best farmers, but we did it together and we worked hard at it.
Wow.
I guess that's probably what I'm proudest of. Taught us how to work, taught us the value of work.
Wow.
Putting your hands and knees and dirt and all of that.
Yeah.
It was on top of that, that's I met my wife out there in the farm. So she's a farm girl too.
That's what I'm talking about. What are you most grateful for?
My family, the people that have touched my life, my life.
What's been
so many have touched my life. I mean, I could never be what I am had they not all touched my life in a certain way. My second grade teacher, I can remember, I'm not the greatest reader. And I probably had a learning disability back before they knew what learning disability was. Mm-hmm. You could read. Let me teach you. You're not. And so she touched my life. I mean, she believed in me, got me to read a little bit. I'm still not a great reader, but she got me to read a little better.
It's working.
Yeah.
What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
To keep fighting through failure.
That's right.
Yeah. Because if you're getting beat, it's not the end. It's the end if you allow it to be the end.
That's right.
But there's always something good about it. And I think there's always people out there to help you if you want to help yourself. I think you got to help yourself and you got to have that mindset.
Absolutely.
You got to have a mindset that that's what it's going to be.
Mm-hmm. And last but not least, Coach, how do you want to be remembered in history?
Somebody that cared, somebody that tried to make this world a better place, that because of Joe Panunzio, this world is better than the way I came in when I was born on July 4th, 1959.
Man, that's awesome. Coach, you survived. Give yourself a round of applause, man. Awesome job. Awesome job. Hey, folks out there, my coach, Coach Joe Panunzio, young man from Pueblo, Colorado, now coaching with the Philadelphia Eagles, three-time national champion. Well, I'm so proud of him. And you talk about a guy who I consider a friend, who's made a difference in my life, who hasn't just talked the talk, but has walked the walk. I mean, an unbelievable person, unbelievable human being, father, husband as well. Coach, last but not least, our podcast here focuses on two things: purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
I think purpose, the first thing you have to do, I don't think a lot of people do this nowadays. You're talking about purpose. Find out what your purpose is. Yeah. Whatever's deep in your heart and whatever that thing, that passion is, whatever makes you go. And even if it's what somebody else don't think it should be, so what's inside of you, that purpose that's what makes this thing work. And then the resiliency will happen if that purpose really is deeply ingrained in you and is really, really important to you. And then the last part is you demonstrated way more than I could ever demonstrate what you had to go through as a young kid to make it to where you are. Just continue to fight the fight. And as long as you're working towards that purpose, we become what our mind believes. We become what our dreams are. And that resiliency comes along. And by going through that resiliency, you become better at it. And it really makes it a lot funner when you finally get there.
That's
maybe
right.
One day I can get a Lombardi trophy up in the air too. That's
right.
That's grabbing me now. So, right.
That's next, Coach, for you out there. Hey, folks, I hope you guys have been inspired by my friend, my coach, Joe Panunzio. Folks, I want you to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. If you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, I want you to go to my website, tawatson.com, share your story with us. Love to have you on as a guest. Everyone else out there, God bless.
Yours truly,
everyone.
Dr. Watson.